The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, tell me you're on the other side of this line, crisp, clear and audible.
I'm crisp, clear and audible. I'm also exhausted. I tell you, what a week it has been.
I can't even begin to imagine, because things are so much more serious in Israel than they are here. Give us an insight into where you are and what's been happening.
Okay, so I want to preface this by saying that I have tremendous gratitude and respect to the Israeli government and especially the health ministry for identifying very, very early on the threat posed by the COVID-19 virus or coronavirus and taking the necessary action. You know, what does seem to be very extreme action by the Israeli government, you know, I've noticed it covered by the mainstream media. Can you believe what Israel's doing? I think that the intention that has been enacted with absolute military precision. And here's where you really see Israel's ability to respond to crises come to the fore, is what might seem draconian to some at the moment is long-term going to save lives and going to save our economy and going to save the country. So where we stand at the moment is that we have 104 active cases of coronavirus. Thank goodness, no deaths, but amongst the latest numbers is two children who tested positive after their parents returned from visiting the United States, and an emergency room or emergency doctor from Sheba Medical Center who is in moderate condition. We also have numbers of some who have recovered from coronavirus. I think it's very, very important as well, while we're talking, while there is a lot of anxiety and certainty in the world, that we also talk about the recovery process as well. We know that we have to take this very seriously. We've seen what has happened in countries that haven't identified the threat and unfortunately have high death rates. But Israel, like countries like Singapore, identified very, very early and have adopted stringent criteria accordingly. Also last night, the very, very controversial announcement by the government that is banning meetings of more than 100 people, and the knock-on effect of this is quite tremendous. And also the advice, no hugging, no kissing, no touching, which of course is very out of context for Israelis who are very, very tactile people. A school in Modi'in, Ironi H, has been closed because one of their teachers tested positive. All students and teachers have gone into 14-day mandatory quarantine. So yes, we do have our numbers, we do have our statistics, but on the other hand, I do have to say that I was in Tel Aviv yesterday. I've been in and around Modi'in today, and I must say people are still trying to go about their daily lives, taking into consideration the cautionary criteria, but people are going about with as little panic as they can, and a big call to support local businesses wherever we are in the country.
Yeah, that makes a whole bunch of sense. Rolene, let's just bear in mind that Israel does not have a government, and yet these very important decisions are actually being made. So on some level, you're functioning, and you're functioning well. Clive has weighed in and says, can you give Netanyahu credit?
Yes, I think we can give credit to Netanyahu, absolutely. But also credit must go to the incredible Magen David Adom, the way that they responded, and the health ministry. And I think credit must go to all the political parties. You know, the one thing that seems to transcend the aisle is unity with regards to how we deal with COVID-19. And also credit must be given to the government, to the health ministry, to Magen David Adom, because we are cooperating with the Palestinian Authority. Mm-hmm. We're working with the health officials there. It can be done, people. I know as we approach IAW week, you know, it's going to put a few noses out of joint that we are cooperating very, very closely with the Palestinians. Our directive here, our concern is to save lives, is not to be concerned with any political divisions. We're here to save lives and to contain this virus as much as possible. And also, I've received a lot of questions from people saying, is Israel working on a vaccine? We do have scientists who are working around the clock, both on testing and on vaccines. We're hoping to get that vaccine out within a couple of weeks. I know we would all like it sooner, but it still has to be tested. You know, there's a lot at stake here, but we are working on it. And there are companies in Israel. One of them is a company I know quite well that is working with remote screening. So if anybody's interested in dealing with issues on remote screening, contact me privately. I will help put you in touch with the relevant sources. But this is where you can see, and I must give a shout out to everybody across the board in Israel. This is where we are seeing Israel's ability to adapt very quickly to challenges come to the fore. And while we're speaking, there are discussions underway whether or not we close the schools until Pesach. Hebrew media reporting that it is a decision, but no official announcement from the government that we have. And I think, you know, it's just to answer Clive, nobody's not a prime minister's ability to lead in crises. You know, we've also got to remember that there's many layers to the issues that the prime minister faces. And, you know, we hope that within the next weeks or so, we will have a government, whatever government that may be, in place.
Rolene Gimpel has weighed in and asked the question that he wants me to put to you. Rolene, will I be able to take my annual holiday to Israel by July?
I'm really hoping, Gimpel, that you will. You better look me up for a cup of coffee. We keep threatening that. But it, you know, it's the hope that by July, you know, things will be back to normal. It is speculated that the virus works in 6-week cycles. We see China, there's a marked drop in infection rates, and the country is slowly starting to get back to normal. We're hoping that this is the case for many others.
Okay, so let's move off that topic. Let's move on to politics and coalitioning and all that stuff. Moshe Yaalon, it's all about getting Netanyahu out. Is that what he's busy saying?
That is what he has said. And we know that even though Corona has dominated the headlines, we still have had an election. I mean, I can't believe we actually had an election last week. It seems so far away, but we did. And he has said, yeah, that right now the priority is getting Bibi out. And, you know, it's entailed that we have to sit perhaps with the joint list. And, you know, you and I were saying the other day, and it's also a very important point that we do have to be cognizant that, you know, the joint list is the third highest performing party in the last two elections, and we cannot detract that we do have 20% of our population is Arab, and perhaps the strategy for the blue and white and for other parties is to be inclusive, to make sure that you know, we don't grow divisions, that rather we have a government that is representative of all sectors of Israeli society. And very interesting, now that we have the official election results, most Druze villages have voted for the joint list, whereas before they would have voted for other parties.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is largely being put down to the nation state law. And Benny Gantz, in his election campaign, has said that, you know, he will address issues of the Druze community feeling very sidelined by some of the criteria in the nation state law.
Interesting stuff. The Palestinian Authority has often been accused of teaching their children to hate via the education system, via textbooks. Now it seems the UK Parliament is weighing in on the subject.
Well, isn't this interesting? Because yesterday we spoke about the Minister for the Cabinet Foreign Office Michael Gove coming out and saying that anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism are basically the same thing. And now we have news that the UK Parliament is debating the content of these textbooks. And they've said that, you know, that the incitement, pushing forward of terrorism, of martyrdom, these create real barriers for any kind of mission and peace. You know, often many of us say that when you teach children to hate, when you teach them to become martyrs, you are in effect committing child abuse. You are depriving children of, you know, their rights to dream big, to learn about other cultures, to, you know, to be exposed to so much more than what they're being exposed to. So a lot of debate around this, a lot of Brits saying, you know, we demand to know where our taxpayer money is. We've seen it with the whole Mexit issue. Brits don't want to pay for their security. Well, the British people are saying we also don't want to pay for textbooks that propagate hate. We, you know, we have a national health system that needs the money more. And perhaps this is another reason why we're seeing this debate go to the Parliament.
Rolene Marks, it's been an awesome week. Thank you so much. And be good.